Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. And on today's show, we'll get an update on the PACT Act. We hear about education benefits from the Minnesota National Guard and check in with the Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Traditional Guard members drill primarily one weekend a month. That means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs teams work tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our employer support Guard and Reserve program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members, be it at home, at the office, or in uniform. We all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got the right support.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio to talk about the PACT Act is Charles Martin. Charles was appointed the Assistant Veterans Service Center Manager in the St. Paul Regional Office in November of 2019. Charles began working with the VA in November of 2008 as a Veterans Service Representative. In January of 2013, he was promoted to Assistant Coach of the Appeals Team and was promoted to Coach in April of 2014. He served on multiple teams, including the Rating and Development Team, Rating Board, Restricted Access Claim Center, and Non-Rating and Intake Processing Center. Charles has a bachelor's and master's degree from my alma mater, Concordia University, St. Paul.
Right on.
Hey, Charles, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Doug, great to be here. Thanks for having me. And I'm excited to talk about all things PACT and the exciting things that we're doing with the VA Medical Center and also with the Veterans Benefit Administration.
Well, I'm excited to have you in the studio, too, because, you know, on the show, we've been talking about the PACT Act for a while.
Uh-huh.
We know that President Biden signed that bill. And, you know, there's been a lot of push for our service members to get out and get signed up. And,
absolutely.
And if we can just maybe step back and let's just start at the beginning.
Yes,
can
sir.
You kind of tell us, all right, what is the PACT Act? Why is it so important? And, you know, really, what does it cover? I mean, I know it's a lot to cover here, but we'll start at the beginning.
Absolutely. So the promise to address Comprehensive Toxins Act, also known as the PACT Act, is a historic law signed by President Biden on August 10th of last year. It is the most significant expansion of benefits and services to veterans that the VA has experienced in the past three decades. And it's going to really, it reaches out to literally 5 million veterans in our veteran population here in the United States. With the PACT Act, VA expands health care eligibility for toxic exposed veterans, extended eligibility for Vietnam era, Gulf War era, and post 9/11 combat veterans. It adds more than 20 burn pit exposure toxic related conditions to VA's service presumptions list. And it also involves VA to upgrade their systems in order to make accurate and effective decisions for our veterans during the claims process. In addition to that, we were authorized 31 new medical facilities across the country to provide greater access for our veterans. Also, with the signing of the PACT Act, it allowed VA to build their workforce so they can recruit and retain talented employees to help assist with the mission.
And so when we think about the toxics part of PACT, right,
mm-hmm.
Are we talking about airborne toxins? Are we talking about, you know, just because the environment, just stuff you can touch?
More like when we're talking about those toxins, we're talking about those burn pit exposures overseas. So Iraq, Afghanistan, as you know, many service members, you know, if you've been over there, if you've been deployed over there, you know, they had to burn their waste. You know, they've had to burn trash, and they had to breathe that in.
So it's not necessarily we're talking about toxins from, like, an act of war.
No.
I was in the Gulf War, and I was on the burning detail to take care of our personal waste.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is part of what would be covered.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And then, of course, we burned garbage.
Yep.
And then there was oil fires.
Yep. Absolutely. So all of these conditions that we're finding that veterans are coming back with, that they are experiencing, you know, asthma, COPD, have all been added to those presumptive lists.
And, you know, it's important then that our veteran community, which is part of why we have you on the show, is because I understand that there's a timeline. And I want to make sure we spend some time talking about what that looks like as far as, you know, one, we already know then it's the toxins.
Yep.
Whatever experience a veteran or a service member had while they're deployed. But there's a timeline. They have to say something to somebody to at least get into the system.
Absolutely. Yes, they do. And it's specifically for PACT, when we're talking about filing a claim and enrolling for health care benefits, that deadline so that you can get that a proper effective date is August 9th of 2023. So it's very important that, you know, if you are experiencing, you know, any disabilities related to those burn pit exposures, that you file that claim before or on August 9th of 2023 so you can get that effective date.
So what if I'm just a normal, you know, relatively healthy person? I've been deployed a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've had exposure to burn pits, et cetera. But I'm feeling pretty good. I think I'm relatively healthy, maybe a little overweight, but, you know, I'm feeling pretty healthy. Should I still sign up?
I would encourage you to, first and foremost, if you haven't, go get your toxic exposure screening at your nearest VA medical center. Because, you know, if you fall within that PAC population, you will get that free toxic exposure exam.
And what does that do then? Just create like a baseline or something?
Creates a baseline. You get you in their system. You know, you ask a lot. They'll ask you a couple of questions. They'll examine you, and you'll be in the system. So in the future, if you do develop anything, you know, they have something to refer to.
Okay, so go get the screening done. Do I still need to then subsequently file a claim online, or does the screening take care of that? And then there be something happening later, then I would have to file a claim.
Yep. So if you want to file a claim, you want to do that before on August 9th. So I would say do that immediately.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
But the big thing there is get that screening done so we get the baseline created.
Yeah. And I can tell you a story here. There was a veteran from Minnesota. He was a Gulf War Marine. Went in to get his toxic exposure screening and discovered he had thyroid cancer, which is a, you know, new presumptive condition. And, you know, he was able to get that taken care of, catch it early. You know, they were able to, you know, take it out of his neck. But, you know, that toxic exposure screening saved his life.
Wow. Yeah. So another incentive then for our veterans who don't generally like to go to the doctor.
And he was feeling fine and feeling healthy. Just like you. So, you know, you got
to. Why are you staring at me like that? All right. So let's talk a little bit about what the VA has been doing or how the VA's responded since the implementation of the PACT Act.
Yeah, absolutely. Since the implementation of PACT Act, as I said, that is perhaps the largest care and benefits expansion in VA history. VA has received a total of 768,000 PACT claims. There have been over 390,000 claims completed for veterans and survivors. In addition to that, VA has been able to grant 308,000 total PACT Act claims have been approved, just about a 79% approval rate. VA has also awarded more than $1.5 billion in retroactive benefits at the national level. And additionally, VA hospitals have enrolled 98,000 PACT Act veterans into their hospitals, and they've also completed 3.9 toxic exposure screening since the implementation of PACT Act.
And again, the PACT Act is covering eligibility for Vietnam, Gulf War, of course, post 9/11, so
yes,
Iraq, Afghanistan. And so our Vietnam veterans out there, they need to get in and
absolutely
get this screening as well.
Yes, sir, they do. 100%.
And pretty much anybody who served overseas is probably
pretty much. If you served overseas after 1955, I mean, you're pretty much eligible for the PACT Act. So I would say, you know, get that toxic exposure screening.
Get
sure.
the screening. That's the first step.
Absolutely.
And then from there, get those results. You never know. It could save your life. And then, of course, file a claim if there are some issues that that are arising.
Absolutely.
Okay, so before we get to the next question, I just want to take a break here so that we don't have to cut it short.
Okay.
Yep. All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue talking about the PACT Act with Charles Martin. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and we've been speaking with Charles Martin about the PACT Act. Charles, before we went on break, we talked about how the eligibility is for Vietnam era, Gulf War era, post 9/11, Iraq, Afghanistan, etc. And then you stressed the importance of getting the toxic screening test done at your local VA. And then you talked about how there's this enrollment period for the benefits. And I understand there's a reason why there's a deadline, but there's some ramifications of applying prior to or waiting till after the deadline. Can you talk a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So for sure. So first, let me start off by saying, you know, when you can still apply for PACT Act benefits. If you are a current service member and planning to leave the military, you can apply for VA disability benefits up to 6 months before your separation. It's very important that they describe any possible toxic exposures and symptoms during the separation health assessment. So many times people are in a rush and they don't mention it. That is very vital for VA when we're processing that claim. So we have that thing documented in your health, in your separation health assessment, that you've been exposed.
I can see how that happens. I mean, you know, on my deployments, when we got back after being gone for a year, the last thing you want to do is spend as much or any more time than necessary at the out-processing station. Yep. But when you're leaving service, I mean, this is extremely important to document everything, not only the out-processing physical that the military provides to you, but then through the VA healthcare system as well.
Absolutely, 100%. Also, for our Vietnam veterans or our veterans of Central Command from 1991 to 2001, they can apply for toxic exposure benefits and care right now, and they can reapply if they've been denied before. Applying on or before August 9th of this year means your benefits will be backdated to August 10th of last year, the day the president signed the bill. So that means, you know, if you're granted, you know, say if you apply before August 9th, and you're granted a service connected disability due to a toxic exposure, that monetary amount will be backdated to August 10th of 2022.
So it's possible that some of our veterans have previously applied or denied, but now that this has been expanded, they could be eligible. So don't give up now.
Don't
go back
up
and get a reassessment.
Absolutely, don't give up. Apply. Also, you know, if you're not sure, you know, if you want to apply right now, you can still do an intent to file. Okay, and that intent to file, if you do that before or on August 9th, you'll still receive that same effective date. And so an intent to file basically means, hey, I'm letting VA know I plan on filing a claim within a year.
And is that intent to file done directly with the VA? Can it be done through a veteran service organization?
It has to go to VA. So you can do it with your veteran service organization. They can, you know, submit it on your behalf to VA. But that is a document in a form that, you know, you can fill out through VA's website on va.gov.
All right. So extremely important. Toxic screening. Get that application in there so that you meet the eligibility requirements, these deadlines. So potentially things could be backdated.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. So what else should we know about the PACT Act and any other pertinent information that maybe our general listening audience just might not be aware of as it relates to coverage or processing or, you know, just what they should do if they have any questions?
Absolutely. I want to add that there is a special healthcare enrollment period for our Iraq War and Afghanistan War veterans, combat veterans. So they need to apply for their eligibility right now because that window closes on September 30th of 2023. So that's a special enrollment period for those specific veterans of Iraq and Afghanistan. So they can apply for that.
Okay.
So that's very important. That closes September 30th of this year. Also, like I said, mainly that toxic exposure screen is so important. VA has already completed 3.9 million of them already. I'm sure that number has increased since I've you know, pull this data. But I can't stress the need for our veterans to get those, to get that screen.
So, if you're already enrolled in the VA healthcare system, get a hold of your primary care and ask to get in for an appointment to be screened.
Yes, sir.
Do you know, are there walk-ins that you can do, or do you have to have an appointment set up?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't want to speak because I'm not on the hospital side nor on the benefit side, but I'm sure if you reach out to your VHA, they can definitely help you out and get you going.
But definitely start there.
Definitely start there, yes.
And of course, we always push on this show that our county veteran service officers are another great resource.
Absolutely.
So they might have some information as well, but it's good to have you in the studio to talk about this and get that firsthand knowledge about what the PACT Act is and,
yes,
and the benefits that the VA is going to potentially cover for somebody.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about what the VA is doing to get the word out. Obviously, you're on Minnesota Military Radio. We're broadcast on 65 radio stations throughout all of Minnesota. So, you know, this is a good message that's going out. But, you know, this is one episode that'll be will be playing for the weekend.
Yeah.
What else are you doing? What kind of events or things are you doing to make sure we get this
communication absolutely. Going? So the Minneapolis VA Medical Center is hosting a PACT Act Vets Fest Day on July 19th. From 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. The purpose of this event is to get our veterans and survivors to apply for PACT Act benefits on or before August 9th. That's that deadline I mentioned earlier. Also, VBA, my team, will be out there taking claims for veterans. Also, they'll be doing some toxic exposure screenings from the VA Medical Healthcare Center side. There's going to be live jazz music, and there also will be a DJ from DJ PT from 102.9 The Wolf. I think that's a country music station.
Now, are you going to be down there on July
9th? I know. I will be down there. Absolutely. I will be down there. I'll be walking around making sure things are getting done, making sure my team is, you know, in taking in our veterans who are filing claims. So I will definitely be there.
So our listening audience, when they go down to the Minneapolis VA hospital on July 19th, 2023, between 3 and 6, they'll see the handsome Charles Martin down there with his team actually helping people to get enrolled with the benefits.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. So let's do a little bit of a recap because there's just so much information here, and I don't think we can talk about it enough.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic screening, extremely important.
Very important. Yes, sir.
File your claim, or at least your intent to file a claim.
Before or on August 9th.
Before or on August 9th.
Of this year.
And this, the PACT Act. Toxic exposure, reaching back to the Vietnam era and Gulf War and Iraq, Afghanistan post 9/11.
Absolutely.
And if all of that anybody forgets about, get your tears. See County Veteran Service Officer and write on your calendar July 19th between 3 and 6 to get down to the VA and meet Charles and his team.
And they can get all this information at va.gov/PACT.
VA.gov/PACT. All right. There you go.
They can get all that information.
And we can make sure that that information is put out on Minnesota Military Radio's website as well as a direct link.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's talk about something else. And, you know, whenever we have the director in or anybody else from the healthcare side of things, we always talk about hiring and the importance of getting some healthcare providers in. But I understand that you are looking at doing some hiring, too, on the benefits side. Tell us about that.
We are doing some hiring on the benefits side. The St. Paul Regional Office, actually, we need to actually hire 125 claims processors in various positions.
And is this pretty much in preparation for the increase of claims for PACT?
Absolutely. Yep. We've been hiring since 2021 in preparation for PACT, and we're continuing to hire. And so we will be having a hiring event at the Bishop Henry Whipple Federal Building August 23rd from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. We're doing on-the-spot hiring. So come with your resume. Come with your transcripts. Come ready to interview. You know, don't come in just jeans and a T-shirt. Kind of want you, you know, buttoned up, nice shirt and tie, pantsuit if you're a woman. You know, whatever you want to do. And, we'll be hiring on the spot.
Well, if the requirement is to look as good as you do today, I would not get hired. But all right, so August 23rd at the Whipple Building.
At the Whipple Building. So that's that big building off of the Blue Line stop, the Fort Snelling stop. It's that big building. That's where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it'll be inside.
Yes, sir.
So remember, people are going to have to go through security when they get there, so don't carry your pocket knives or anything
that. It's a federal
building.
Also, you know, if you're a firearm holder, don't bring that on premises because that is a, you know, level 4 government facility. So
So go in looking good, bring your resume, be ready to interview because it's going to happen right on the spot. And there's a potential you could be hired right on the spot
to
be a benefits administrator.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, Charles, this has been fantastic. I'm glad to have you in the studio with us today,
Doug,
talking about
the
PACT Act. And, you know, to our listening audience, get that screening done and file your intent. And then if you have questions, obviously go to va.gov/PACT or reach out to your county veteran service officer.
Absolutely.
All right. That is Charles Martin. Charles is the Assistant Veterans Service Center Manager. That's when he was appointed to that position in 19, and now you are a coach.
No, and, I'm an assistant. I'm actually the acting Veterans Service Center Manager.
Oh, geez, so I had to ask you.
We do a lot of position changes in VA, so it's all.
Well, it happens. It doesn't matter.
I'm working to serve veterans. That's all that matters.
You know what? At the end of the day, you're right. You're working to serve veterans. I appreciate
you. Yes, sir.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In a moment, we're going to get an update on education benefits within the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Have you served honorably? Are you a Minnesota resident? And are you interested in higher education? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for education benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill program provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans, non-veterans who have served in the military, and eligible spouses and children. The purpose of this bill is to get Minnesota veterans back to work. The plan starts with education, and the first step is finding the financial assistance available to get them there. For full eligibility requirements, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me in the studio is Miranda Williams. Miranda is the Education Service Officer with the Minnesota National Guard. Miranda joined the Minnesota National Guard in 2010. She's deployed to Kuwait and most recently to Iraq, just returned not too long ago. Miranda, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, glad to have you in the studio. So you just got back from Iraq. Tell us a little bit about your military service.
So I actually deployed with the regional support group, 347. We were actually about 80 strong, and then we went to four different locations within Kuwait and Iraq. So I got to go to Al Asad Air Base. Our mission was to be the mayor cell of the base. So we actually ran a lot of the operations within the base, and I got to work in the mayor cell. I was the deputy mayor, so I did a lot of assisting the personnel on base on getting anything that they really needed to be safe or, you know, just to be able to do their job, as well as, like, holding contracts within the government, too.
Yeah, well, thank you for your service. What led you to join the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, I was at a loss of what I wanted to do with my life. And so I joined as an HR person. And then, you know, I ended up getting a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in human resource. And I started working in the federal incentive section upon my last deployment. And I just kind of, I went from a GS-7 to a GS-11 in the same section. And now I get to run the education and incentive section. And honestly, it's probably the best job ever. I get to tell soldiers what their benefits are and how to utilize them and really, really just know the in and outs of the benefits.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we have that conversation because often it seems as though our service members go through a period of time in service not even realizing that there are benefits available to them, you know, much like conversations about the PACT Act we had in the last segment. You know, that might be some resource that, you know, someone listening might not be aware of. So you work for the Minnesota National Guard, but you're a federal employee on, they call it Title V. So you're not dual hatted, meaning you're not wearing a uniform to work, right? You're a civilian employee, but you also maintain service with the Minnesota National Guard. You're assigned right now to the Human Resources Company, where you're a Human Resources NCO. So you do that on your traditional 1 week in a month, 2 weeks a year. And I'm using air quotes here because we know that that's not necessarily the time commitment. But then during the week, or for what your real job is, you are taking care of the education services for the Minnesota National Guard. So talk a little bit about the education services and who might be eligible for the main services that you provide out of your office?
So all the services that we provided are mainly for the Minnesota National Guard members, both Air and Army. But we do offer some benefits that are for soldiers that have ETS'd, medically discharged, or retired from their service too as well.
Okay. So, you know, the important thing here is, again, if you don't know, you just need to ask whether or not you might be eligible. But for the most part, we're talking about National Guard members who are currently serving, Army and Air. And then if some of those service members have recently separated, they might still be eligible for some benefits as well. What about spouses? Do you offer anything for spouses of current military or those who have separated?
Yep. So we do offer what is called spousal state tuition reimbursement for soldiers that have hit 8 years time in service. So and it, that pays 12 credits a year. So that's huge for, you know, a family, as well as, you know, if you have in the past qualified for Chapter 33 on any deployments or COVID contingency orders recently. You can actually transfer your education benefits to your spouse or your children.
Okay. And one of the things in here that we talk about is FTA or federal tuition assistance. And as the name signifies, it's a federal tuition program. But then there's also a Minnesota State tuition reimbursement program, which is funded then by the state. Can you talk a little bit, other than the name differences, what were the requirements of both of those programs?
So for federal tuition assistance, it is so you would apply for it on Army Ignited, and then the soldier has to do that before the school start date. They can start applying 60 days before that school start date, but they have to make the application by 8 days prior to the school start date. And then what that does is actually pays the school. So the soldier doesn't have to worry about anything, as well as our office has a really good relationship with Minnesota schools specifically. So if they're applying for federal tuition assistance, a lot of times schools will allow that debt to be deferred a little bit just until they get that check from the Army.
And so when a soldier or an airman applies for federal tuition assistance, That's a requirement before they can go to the state's funding well, right?
Correct, yep.
Okay, and then how does somebody apply for the state tuition reimbursement?
So for state tuition reimbursement, they actually would do that through their unit once the school has completed. So this is a reimbursement versus, you know, a pay in the front. Once their school is completed, they're going to get their grades and their tuition fees, and they're going to submit that to their unit. And then their unit will help them with the required paperwork that they're going to need, specifically the payment request form for it. And then once that's submitted up to us, within 45 days, we will make the payment directly to the soldier instead of the school. So it is then the soldier's responsibility to work with the school in regards to how they're going to finance for that semester. But we have a really good relationship with Minnesota schools specifically. So Minnesota schools are willing to defer those debts for a little bit until the soldier can then pay the school back at the end of the semester. So,
all right. So the key here is that a service member who's in the Minnesota National Guard, they file for the federal tuition assistance. That's paid directly to the school. They're responsible then for the balance. And then at the end of the semester or quarter or whatever the period is, along with grades and that fee statement, then they'll get reimbursed up to a certain amount based on the current rules and regulations.
That is correct, Doug.
All right. So rules and regulations. I'm imagining that in your office, you're constantly having to update information to communicate the proper guidance to the field, so to speak, because this stuff just changes all the time.
Oh, it does. Absolutely. And we have a database with emails, civilian emails of all soldiers that have ever used soldiers in Air Guard that have ever used state tuition reimbursement. So we use that as a huge tool to submit information, new information out to soldiers and airmen pretty much every semester. We also put out quarterly newsletters to units that, you know, usually will put it in their emails towards to the soldiers for drill purposes. And then right now we've actually been working individually with units to do workshops where we come in for a couple of days, and we work with soldiers directly, helping them either figure out how to put in their federal tuition assistance, or if they're having a problem with state tuition reimbursement paperwork, or even if they're having a problem with some GI Bill benefits, and then just overall counseling them on, like, hey, what else can you do to get money to go to school?
Okay. We're gonna break right here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about kind of how people can navigate some of these programs and benefits, and then we'll start talking a little bit about the GI Bill benefits a little bit more. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the last segment, we've been speaking with Miranda Williams, who's the Education Service Officer with the Minnesota National Guard. Miranda, when we went to the break, you're telling us a little bit about the differences between the federal incentives, of course, the state incentives, the reimbursement program. How can a service member navigate? Where's their first point of contact? How do they get this information?
So their first point of contact would be their unit. However, if you have any questions, we do have a phone number that rings to everyone in our office. You can give it a call. Obviously, Monday through Friday, we work 8 to 3:30. The number is 651-282-4589. And my education professionals are more than happy to help you, navigate through all of these processes and then just give you documentation like how-to guides or, you know, we have an education 101 guide too as well to help you navigate through this process because it is a lengthy, confusing process.
And that's a good place for them to start to find out information about benefits for themselves or maybe their dependents or their spouse if they might be eligible for some educational benefits as well.
Absolutely, Doug.
All right. So tell us then kind of a little bit about the GI Bill benefits. You alluded to it, but, you know, we talk about Chapter 32 benefits, post-9/11 GI Bill. What GI Bill benefits are you mostly involved with at your office, and what information do you think is important for our audience to know about?
So the biggest one that we have is the Chapter 1606, which is mostly known as the Montgomery GI Bill. It is the one that most soldiers are eligible to use as long as they signed a six-year contract when they came into the Army National Guard. They are eligible to use that. In order to apply, they just go to the VA.gov website. What that does is give a soldier $349 a month while they're going to school extra. So this is an additional money on top of federal tuition assistance and on top of state tuition reimbursement as well. And then if a soldier, we have a reenlistment contract where if you sign for a kicker, you can actually get an additional $300 on top of that $439. So, I mean, that's a huge benefit. That's almost $800 a month for a soldier. And that's what most soldiers qualify for. If you've ever been on deployment or had a qualifying service, a lot of COVID contingency orders, for example, qualified for GI Bill post-33, which is known as post-9/11, that actually will pay its increment. So depending what your service was, you are going to have a percentage amount of what they're going to pay. But they do give you BAH up to E5 with dependents. For the school zip code, as well as up to 100% of tuition at like a university, so like the University of Minnesota. It does cap out for private school universities, so that's kind of something to be aware of. And then it gives you a $1,200 book stipend every single year as well. But you do have to have qualifying services to get that one. The last GI Bill benefit that I do want to talk about, and it's an underutilized benefit, and it's not a federal benefit, actually. It is a Minnesota state-specific GI Bill. So it is literally called Minnesota GI Bill. It will pay up to $3,000 a year at a $10,000 cap. So most soldiers don't actually apply for it. You do have to have 5 years time in service and or deployed. So if you're a soldier that, you know, hits one of those criterions and you've never heard about it, something good to know about.
All right. So reach out to your office for more information about any of those benefits, and you will help them get to the right resource to get further details. Okay, we've got less than a minute here. So what would you say to Minnesota National Guard members who are out there right now that are maybe thinking about going to school to use some educational benefits, but they just don't know where to start or what they should do? What would you say to them?
Actually, you know what? I say the first place to start is to look at the colleges that you kind of want to go to. Look at the area that you want to go to. There's a lot of tests out there that can kind of help you decide what you want to do with your life. I mean, I was in that same boat, too. I didn't know either. And, you know, kind of take those tests and then reach out to our office and just say, hey, what do I need to do next? Because we're always willing to help.
Well, but definitely, I'm a living testament of those benefits. I was able to get 3 degrees and not pay a penny out of pocket. So check into it. Miranda, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me, Doug.
Yeah, you bet. That is Miranda Williams, and she is the Minnesota National Guard's Education Services Officer. Joining us now from the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Doug, good to talk to you. Thank you for having us.
You know, I always love talking to you, mostly because you've got a great name.
Roger that.
Now you're a great person, too. And, you know, when we talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard, I think that, at least for me, aside from, you know, what I know from behind the scenes, meaning the experience that I've had with you personally, with the Patriot Guard in general coming out to welcome home ceremonies or departure ceremonies or going to, you know, when you are there for the final resting place ceremony, you know, those are the things that I generally think of. But I think that when most people think about the Patriot Guard, the first thought that comes into mind is a loud motorcycle, generally a Harley Davidson. But I think that you've got some important safety tips or messaging that you want to put out today as it relates to motorcycles. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you know, this actually was kind of a trigger for me. I was reading a newspaper article that the Minnesota motorcycle fatalities this year are on track to be the highest ever. And through July 4th weekend, there's 38 people so far have lost their life in motorcycle accidents. And that'll tie us up with about 82, which is the most since 1985.
Wow, that's a significant number. You know, I used to ride, and I don't ride anymore. There's some personal reasons for that. But I know that when I'm on the road, I'm always extremely cautious of the motorcycles, watching where they are, you know, trying to allow them that extra space. And quite honestly, I'm always afraid that they're going to spin out or something in front of me when I'm following them. So I like really slow back. What kind of driving techniques do you generally talk about with not only your motorcycle riders, but also the those that are in the vehicles?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a motorcyclist, I've been riding since I was 16 years old, and I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I'm also conscious of the fact that at this point, the stage of my life where I am, which is over 60, my reflexes aren't as good as they were. My vision's not as good as it was, and I've got to adjust for that in my own personal riding style. So I would say as a motorcyclist, you know, 20 years ago, I never wore a helmet. And I wore blue jeans with boots and a tank top. Now when I get on the motorcycle, I put a helmet on. I typically am wearing high visibility shirt or vest or something, you know, bright yellow or bright orange. And, you know, my head is on a constant swivel. And we always like to, my counsel and guidance to motorcycle riders from 16 to 75, honestly, we have to act as if that person in the car is going to kill us. And how do we avoid that? What is my role in avoiding that? So a couple of things, you know, that I would say to motorcyclists everywhere. And some of this, Doug, came from working with the National Guard. You know, we escort the buses on deployments and welcome homes. And for us to participate with the Minnesota National Guard in those events is we had to follow the safety guidelines that the military imposes on motorcycle riders. You have to have a helmet. You have to have high vis gear. Have to have long pants, should be wearing gloves. And so we actually brought that into play when we do the escorts for you or for the National Guard. And I've actually adopted quite a bit of that for my own personal riding right now.
Well, I think that it's extremely important. I mean, especially as you talked about, you know, being out on the road, always being defensive. But you have to be seen as well. Wearing dark clothing at night is probably not a good idea.
No, and, you know, so if you move on to your personal use of the motorcycle instead of, I'll call it the business or the Patriot Guard, you know, and it's important to be careful. You know, there's a lot of people stop at establishments and alcohol is served. And not saying you should never have none, but none would be best. But yeah. Carefully monitoring your intake, you know, it's most of the accidents this year they're attributing are to impairment, distracted driving, and speeding.
Well, Doug, I mean, that's a great great safety message for us. Wear your helmet, wear high vis, keep your head on a swivel, and vehicle drivers out there, give some space. Doug Bly, Patriot Guard, it's always great chatting with you. I appreciate you spending just a couple of minutes with us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug.
All right, that's Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. As we near the end of our time together, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Minnesota Military Radio. I also want to let you know that this show is for you. So please, if you have topics that you'd like us to discuss, if you've got additional feedback about the show, or if you're a Minnesota veteran and you want to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Click on Contact Us, send us a message. We do have a mention this week. The Minnesota State Fair Appreciation Day on the 29th of August is giving complimentary tickets to our Vietnam veterans. You should go to our website to get additional information about that, how to get that free ticket for our Vietnam veterans to come to Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Doug Bly, Miranda Williams, Charles Martin, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week when we get an update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We'll check in with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and we'll hear from the Command Senior Enlisted Leader of the Minnesota National Guard. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition. I hope you have a great week, and I hope that you find a way to make a positive impact on someone's life.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.